Vegas Golden Podcast, a busy week for the Vegas Golden Knights, and we're here to break it all down for you. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Justin Emerson. We are Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Born Card, the credit card perfect for passionate Vegas Golden Knights fans. Justin's still in the middle of a mini East Coast swing here, but the Golden Knights on a two-game win streak since we last spoke.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I hadn't thought about that that way, but yeah, they beat the Senators, beat the Penguins on Saturday, and you're right, Flyers tonight, Monday as we record this in the morning, and then Blackhawks on Tuesday before they're back home on Friday.
Yeah, so they come home for the Avalanche. And
I love that 3 p.m. Nevada day.
Yeah, I always love
that
game.
Tremendous tradition that they've got, because it also means that I'm home by like 8 o'clock on Friday night.
Yeah, I also love the tremendous tradition, because I thought it was cool, and I know it's something the fan base looks forward to, but I felt like an idiot last year. Since they didn't have a morning skate, you know, they bring players into like the press conference, and two Nevada days ago was like, I think it was like one of their breakout parties. They beat the Avalanche like 8-1 or something, yeah. And it was a game like everyone remembered so fondly, so I asked Jonathan Marchessault about it last year going into the game at like the press conference, like, hey, you know, this was a game everyone remembered and loved so much last year. What do you remember from it? He's like, I'm going to be honest, I don't remember anything. What game was it? So I felt real dumb then.
Oh, that's fine.
But then I was like, oh, the Avalanche. He's like, oh, yeah, we played well.
We played well, yeah. We won 8-1 or whatever. Yeah, I remember last year's Nevada day, they played the Lightning, and it was the week after I had gotten married, and somebody got my wife and I tickets to the game.
Oh, nice.
as a wedding gift, because it was about 2 or 3 weeks before I got onto the beat. So that was the last game that I had attended before I got onto the beat, and it was a fun game. I do not remember who won. It's always a good time.
The Lightning won, I think, like 4-3, but the Golden Knights played really well.
It was kind of
a game that could go either way. I think it was one of the Golden Knights' best performances, I think, in that 20-game stretch without Nate Schmidt, even though they lost.
I think I'm remembering now that they might have held the Lightning to, like, 2 shots on goal in either the second or the third
period.
Yeah,
I think so. I think you're right,
like,
yeah.
So it was a good game. My wife and I had a good time.
And it sets up well, again, this year with the Avalanche.
Ooh, yeah.
Looking really strong. The Golden Knights still going to be the favorite in the Pacific, clearly, right now. So, I mean, who knows? This could even be a Western Conference Finals preview.
It definitely could. I know we're going to get more into the Avs here later in the show, but I want to start with our big topic today. I want to talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, because
the big flower.
He's been unbelievable. He's been so good. And when we were doing our player per day previews, I think I took the under on all of his props. I said he was going to have a down year. This was kind of going to be the start of his decline phase. And is the short answer to that. He's been tremendous. I mean, he's got, you look at just kind of his base numbers, I think he's sitting at a 933 save percentage right now, or 932, something like that. But some of his goals saved above average stat, according to Evolving Hockey right now, he's second in the league behind Darcy Kemper, but he's 0.02 behind Kemper there. Goals save above expected, he is leading the league. You've got a real good case that Vegas has the best goalie in the league so far this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a thing where we talk about this, I feel like, a lot on the podcast, but it's where the numbers do kind of match the eye test, because he's looked phenomenal, too. He's already made some highlight saves, and he has, all that hard work, all that looking great. He now has the shutout to show for it.
Yep.
He shuts out the Penguins on Saturday in the Golden Knights' last game, 3-0 against his former team. I know there's probably some disappointment with the fan base that it doesn't come with donuts since it was on the road, but I think this was kind of like the peak of his incredible first two and a half weeks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's special for him. It was his first victory in Pittsburgh as a visitor. He had only other played one game in the inaugural year. He lost, and then last year he didn't play in Pittsburgh. But to get that shutout was very impressive, and I remember there was a quote from Gallant last year. I think it was during the playoffs. He said some shutouts are team shutouts that everybody kind of contributes, and the goalie knocks off some easy shots. I think the one that I think of when I think of the team shutout is Malcolm Subban shut out the Winnipeg Jets last year, playoff team. He faced 18 shots. But then some of the shutouts are on the goalie, and the one on Saturday night was certainly on the goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury was just tremendous. It was a 3-0 final, but the score is a little deceiving because of the two empty net goals by Vegas. He was awesome. He killed off 3 penalties in the third period. A couple of saves. Twice he stretched all the way across the crease going either direction to knock off a one-timer on the back door. So you can't say enough good things about how good Fleury's been, especially with the Malcolm Subban injury. He's played in every game for the Golden Knights so far. Oscar Dansk starting tonight against the Flyers, so it looks like Fleury might actually get a breather, but not that much because they play again tomorrow. So Fleury has been, for all the talk about easing his workload, doesn't look like that's going to be the case this year, but... So for how long Fleury can keep up his elite level of play, we will see. But right now, he has been tremendous through 9 games.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't even realize we are recording on a Monday. We should say that. So we will not talk a whole lot about the Flyers, but we will a little bit. I didn't even realize that Dansk was in net tonight. So it's good probably to see Marc-Andre Fleury get a break one way or the other. Like you said, he's played in every game. There's nothing – you can't say anything bad about his performance. You know, anytime you shut out – Pittsburgh, you know how good their offense has been for, a decade now. But especially, they came into the Vegas game on a tear. They had won, 5 straight, probably scored more goals in those 5 than anyone in the NHL because it seemed like they were scoring a lot every game.
Yeah, they put up touchdowns in back-to-back games.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was last week when we talked. So I guess my final – you kind of hinted at my final question on this topic would be, how sustainable is it? Do you think I know he's probably not going to produce at this clip, but does this change what we thought coming into the season that Marc-Andre Fleury might take a little step back? Do you think now he's still going to be one of the, top tier best goalies in the NHL, or do you think he regresses more towards average, or where do we stand now with that?
That's a really good question.
It's so hard to predict. Anyone, but goalies especially, I feel like it can go a lot of different ways.
I mean, there's nothing that he's done so far that would lead you to suggest that any sort that he can't keep this up, because there have been a couple of games that haven't been great. He allowed 5 to Nashville. A couple of the games, weren't great, but at the same time, I don't know, that Pittsburgh game, he was on his game. He played really well against the Senators. He had to bat off a lot of shots. All season he's had to bat off a lot of shots. I think that he's not going to be a 930 plus goalie the rest of the way, just because few guys are, but I think I took the under at 912 or whatever. I think he's over that at this point. I think you're looking at a guy who can be a 920 guy the rest of the year. That being said, they are going to need to get him some breaks. You can't have he's not going to play 82 games this year or 81 games this year after Dansk plays. I think a lot of that is if Subban was healthy, that maybe he would have sat 3 of these games already, something like that. But they're definitely going to need to get him some rest at some point. But right now, he's been tremendous. He's probably better than I thought he was going to be for the rest of the year. But I still wouldn't carve his name into the Vezina Trophy just yet.
Yeah, makes sense. I also went with his unders in the Westgate's prop night contest. I believe it was only wins and shutouts, and the shutouts was 4.5. Still not a clinch. He only has 1, but wins with his workload.
Yeah,
I'm looking like I'm in trouble right now. I think it was 34.5.
Yeah,
maybe.
Wins on the over seems kind of safe right now if he's going to end up playing 60 some odd games, which is very possible.
Yeah, that's got to be a very high percentage that he does that. Well, that's kind of the overview on Marc-Andre Fleury, who was our big topic this week. Our second segment every week on Vegas Golden Podcast, Escaping the Fortress, where we like to take a look around the NHL. Going to hit on a couple topics today, but one that kind of relates to the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm still learning my NHL trophies, but is it the Calder?
Yeah, you got
it. Okay, the Calder for the Rookie of the Year. I think right now he's probably not the winner, but you would have to put Cody Glass in the conversation. He is wowed almost every game. I think Golden Knights fans can't get enough of this guy, and for good reason. I think he's lived up to all expectations through 9 games in the season.
Yep, I think everything you said is right. He currently right now is 4th in the league among rookies with 6 points. 2nd in the Western Conference right now. He's been very good. 3 points on the power play. I think that's where we've seen Cody Glass at his best, is on the power play. And you saw it in the Pittsburgh game. He just had a nice little pass over to Paul Stastny, who was wide open for the goal against the Senators, I believe it was. He had a no-look pass to set up a goal. He's just been fantastic. He's been everything that the Golden Knights have hoped for so far this year. But So he's in the Calder conversation as of right now, and I think that it might be a bit of a weaker class just because that the kind of the expected front runners are nowhere to be seen. Jack Hughes, the number one overall pick, only has 2 points this year. Kaapo Kakko, the number two pick, and my personal pick to win the Calder this year, one goal, zero assists in 6 games. So the front runners have been quite bad so far.
And their teams have been. The Rangers and the Devils have really struggled.
They've been terrible. So it's tough. But when you look at it, there are a couple of guys ahead of Glass right now. Victor Olofsson with Buffalo right now is sitting at 8 points in 9 games, 6 goals. He's been tremendous. Cale Makar, I think, was the defenseman for Colorado, has been another player who, coming into the year, a lot of people would have picked after seeing what he did in the playoffs last year. He's got 7 assists in 8 games. So I think those are your front runners right now. If I was making a pick, I'd take Cale Makar. But Cody Glass, he's on pace for about 54 points, which would be on the lower end of a Calder winner over the last decade or so, but it's not out of the question. If he catches a hot streak, Glass could work his way into the Calder conversation as the year progresses.
Yeah, that would be certainly be something, and you can't take away anything he's done. I feel like this is interesting, the two front runners you pointed out, which I think you're certainly right, but the Calder, or just Rookie of the Year in general in any sport, I feel like it's like the one award where you don't necessarily have to be on a super successful winning team to steal it. But this year, the two front runners through 2 weeks are on what have been the two best teams in hockey. Buffalo and Colorado both are just red hot. The Avalanche's only loss so far came in overtime to Pittsburgh. I believe the Sabres have been beaten twice, but they've just been scoring goals and looking very fluid. I got to ask you what you make of these two teams, and we'll do a little segment of buy or sell on Colorado or Buffalo. What do you think with these two teams going forward?
I think they're... So, I like Colorado. I think Colorado's legit. I'll get more into them in a second. With Buffalo, it's interesting because we kind of thought this last year. They got off to a really good start. They had a 10-game winning streak at one point last year. Kind of wait and see, I guess, on them. I do think that they're going to be in a tough spot for the playoffs just because of the division that they play in, that Boston and Toronto and Tampa. Tampa in particular, even though it hasn't gotten off to a great start, still the best team in the league in my mind, the best odds to win the Stanley Cup. So Buffalo, I think, will be fighting for a wild card spot. Colorado currently leads the NHL in PDO. Buffalo is second. So these are your two teams that are probably due for the most regression based off a couple of things, seeing as neither are positive Corsi teams at 5-on-5. Neither are positive expected goals teams at 5-on-5. So you could make the case they're playing very well. Carter Hutton's been great in net for Buffalo in particular. But if I had to buy one of the two, I do like Colorado. They were my pick to win the Central coming into the year, even though they might not blow the doors off of teams quite like this. Plus 14 goal differential that is currently the best in the NHL. Buffalo's second at 13. So you're right. I mean, these are the two best teams in the league so far. I really like what Colorado did last year. I think that this is... If maybe not sustainable at the current pace, I don't think they're going to win 70 games and lose zero times in regulation. But I'd take the Avs if I had to take one.
Yeah, I guess since we'll just welcome that when everyone listens to this, a lot of these things are going to sound outdated. And, well, you'll know if I'm right or wrong. But I think that Colorado's in a tough spot today. They're playing at St. Louis. They're on ending kind of a brutal road trip where they've played great, but I think they've played Tampa, Florida, Pittsburgh. I don't know. I just feel like if St. Louis can't win in this spot, maybe I'm just fully bought in on Colorado.
St. Louis has kind of struggled a little bit this year. They've got 9 points, but they're 3-2-3, so they've only won 3 of their 8 games.
Yeah, got beat up by Montreal this weekend. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of neutral on the Avalanche. I certainly have come around to win the preseason. I was wanting to fade all the hype. I think certainly they're a playoff team in the Central. I don't even necessarily know if I want to write them off as winning it yet, because like you said, some of their underlying numbers are still a little questionable, still a little shaky. So we'll see, but I think I've been highly impressed with what they've done, especially to go in that Florida swing. I think they were down 4-1 to the Panthers, mm-hmm. and it was not a case where they just kind of just packed it in and went on with the road trip. They came back and won that game in overtime. So that was super impressive. And then the Sabres, to me, maybe it goes back to your Calder thoughts, our conversation about Olofsson. What do you know about this guy? Is this thing for real? Because if he's for real, if he can be this good, then he's on that top line with Jack Eichel. I don't know. That could be real dangerous. But if this is just kind of a flash in the pan, which I think these things often are, then I have some real questions.
Well, I will be honest with you, Case. Coming into the year, and I don't follow the Sabres farm system religiously, I'd never heard of this guy.
I'm glad that's what you said, because neither had I. That's why I thought maybe I just missed something. He was not a high draft pick. Looks like he was somewhere in the middle rounds. He was a seventh round pick, so I think we're both forgiven. But I didn't know if maybe he was just a guy that tore it up in, I don't know, whatever junior leagues he was playing in for a couple years into the minors last year. But I don't know. I mean, that's not to say it's impossible, so I think that's the biggest thing. If that top line's going to be one of the best in hockey, then they have a chance. But I'm going to sell just because of the same reason you mentioned, is I still think that division is the best in hockey, and there's only so many spots. Right now, Tampa is in fifth. That's not going to last. I really like Florida, who's down at the bottom. Then Montreal.
I mean, you mentioned tough. Toronto and Boston.
Yeah, and then Toronto and Boston are the two that are already up there. So I just don't know if there's enough spots for Buffalo to...
Yeah, I agree with you. Olofsson's start has been fun, but he is currently the worst Sabre at Corsi 4 percentage at 5-on-5 at 42.9. Negative expected goals player. Scoring chances, same. He's been really good on the power play, and he has 6 power play goals. All of his goals have been on the power play, so I don't think it's sustainable for him. It's been a tremendous start, and it's always good to have a good start, because that kind of gets you into the voters' minds when it comes to this kind of thing. But Olofsson, a great start. Buffalo, a great start. I think they'll both fade. Has Buffalo banked enough points already to make the playoffs? We thought they did last year. So
yeah,
I'll hold off on putting them into the playoffs just yet.
Yeah, not ready to jump into that. I think, tying this into the Golden Knights, if we're right and they regress a little bit, come down a little bit, maybe the Golden Knights get lucky with that in that regards. They don't play them until January. January and February, the two meetings this year. I feel like last year they were two of the first 5 games, and they got really beaten down in Buffalo. I believe that's the game where Paul Stastny got hurt too. So maybe a positive for the Golden Knights not to have their two meetings with Buffalo stacked at the top of the year for the second straight season.
Yep, you're definitely right. And currently the Athletic has its running playoff odds. They currently have the Buffalo Sabres with a 27% chance to make the playoffs. Colorado Avalanche, 91%. So if you had to, they're clearly buying the Avs. And you're right, it's probably good for the Golden Knights to not face maybe a lesser team when they are playing red hot hockey.
Absolutely. And those odds from the guy's name, who I'm not even going to try to say, those are the official Vegas Golden Podcast playoff odds. I just as a side Luchism claim, as a guy who's into Luchism, as being into analytics and predictive things and stuff, I see some of these playoff odds, especially in the NHL online, that I'm just like, these are just wrong. Something's wrong with your method. But his have been, I think they're super well done.
For what it's worth, he has Vegas at 90% to make the playoffs and 19% to make the cup final, which is the highest out of the Western Conference.
Absolutely. That sounds right, too. So,
yeah, next would be next out of the Western Conference to come out of the West would be Nashville. And then Colorado and St. Louis. And that sounds about right.
Yeah, exactly. So good work over there. Vegas, 90% to get to the playoff. Sounds about right. This week, they're probably going to up or lower that percentage, though, with 4 games. As we mentioned, we'll get into talking about those in the week ahead. We've already listed them off, but Philadelphia tonight at Chicago, back home on Nevada Day for Colorado, and then we will finish things off this week with Sunday's home game against Anaheim. I guess quickly tonight with Danson goal, we don't want to go too much on this game since you're probably listening to it afterwards, but what do you make of this trip to the Wells? Is it still the Wells Fargo Center? They change these names too often. It used to be the Wells Fargo Center.
I think it is.
Okay, how do they do in the Wells Fargo Center tonight?
I don't buy into Oscar Dansk It was funny. Vegas was listed as a favorite in a lot of sports books, and as soon as the news came out that Dance was going to start, it flipped to either a pick 'em or, in most places, Philadelphia as a favorite, and I think that's about right. I'll take Philly tonight.
Someone may have gotten plus money on the Golden Knights before Ooh. Even realizing that Dance was starting early this morning, but I agree with you. I liked the spot for Philadelphia, too. Just the Flyers are a team... Now I can't remember who we were talking about, whose numbers made them look a little fishy, but the Flyers actually have posted really strong expected goals, shot rates, I believe. And they kind of have the results to show for it. They haven't been bad by any means, but I think this is a tougher game than some people might see on the surface. And this is just anecdotal, not the thing I would really go off of, so you can take this with a grain of salt. But I feel like they're a team that just gives the Golden Knights headaches every single game. I do think they've gone... 2-2 the last 2 years, but Philadelphia's really beaten them up at T-Mobile Arena both times.
The road team winning both games.
Yeah, yep. And Vegas has kind of gotten lucky in Philadelphia. I remember last year, I think they won 1-0 in overtime, maybe.
Fleury was terrific, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. There's something about the Flyers. I feel like they match up well with the Golden Knights, especially with Dansk. I like the Flyers here.
Flyers are... Your gut is correct. They are a positive Corsi team, and they currently lead the league at team expected goal percentage. PDO is very negative, fourth worst in the league. So the Flyers are due some positive regression.
Yeah, so anything can happen in a one-game span, and the Golden Knights, I think, have the better roster. We would be in agreement, but we both probably like Philadelphia here. Back-to-back at Chicago the next night. Chicago's only played six games so far, but that was because they started the season in the Czech Republic. And by all means, they've been... Fine, I guess, kind of average. They've been like a dead average NHL team. So
yeah, I like the Knights tomorrow night. I think getting Fleury back is going to be big. Chicago is a team, the only team in the league that has yet to beat the Golden Knights. So
I did not realize that
the Golden Knights have won all seven, I believe, maybe six meetings between the two teams. So the Blackhawks, the only team left in the league to not beat the Golden Knights, won't change tomorrow.
Wow, you think that would be an Eastern Conference team?
You would think. They played them six times, I think, and the fact that they haven't beat them is just kind of bizarre. It's just like one of those weird things.
Yeah, this one's tough for me. I guess I'm going to lean Vegas with you, but I reserve every right to change my pick. You'll have to check it out on Twitter here tomorrow. I'll tweet out what I'm thinking about this game. I want to see what happens tonight. I think that's always important for the back-to-back. But certainly, you don't want to fade Fleury right now. So if I had to make a pick right now, I'm going to go with Vegas. So that back-to-back will be fun. But I feel like really where we're going to learn something about the Golden Knights are really the two games people Yep. should be looking forward to are the two at T-Mobile Arena. Colorado and Anaheim. Been two of the best teams in the Western Conference so far. I feel like it's going to be... great environments. That Nevada Day is always something special with a bunch of kids in the audience. I'm assuming will be the same in the crowd. I'm assuming will be the same again this year. And then Anaheim, only the third team we've gotten to see from the Pacific this year. So I don't know. I think this weekend's going to be up time to be at T-Mobile Arena.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Between Colorado and Anaheim, these are two big games against two teams that... Excuse me, are near
you're
the
You're so
top.
Excited you're choking.
Yeah, I know. Colorado, like we had mentioned, has been awesome. I actually like the Golden Knights in that game. I think that that'll be a pretty tight, intense game, but I think the Nevada Day thing is big. The 3 o'clock game, Golden Knights will be ready, and I think that the opposite is true for Anaheim. I think John Gibson has been awesome. If you told me that they're going to win one and lose one, that is, straddling the fence a little bit. But I will take it. So overall, I'm picking the Golden Knights to go 2-2 this week with losses at Philadelphia and at home against Anaheim, wins in Chicago and at home against Colorado.
Whew, all these are so tough, but I mean, I've faded Colorado basically every single time we've talked about them in anything. So there's no way I'm picking against them in that game. I've got the Golden Knights winning on Friday. And then Sunday, I feel like it's about time to jump off of Anaheim. I don't know.
It's about time. Yeah, I can see that.
There's a long way till Sunday. So again, I don't think these go down as gospel for either of us. But my first reaction is that the Golden Knights just have too many forwards, too many guys offensively. I mean, Gibson can be out of this world.
Anaheim's allowed the fewest goals per game in the league.
Yeah, who knows if he'll... I don't know what their schedule looks like. Maybe I should look like that. Who even knows if he'll be starting? Although, they have one of the best backups in the league as well. I mean, this one's far from a given, but... They do play a back-to-back.
They play at Colorado and at Vegas, which is a tough back-to-back. Which day do you want Gibson playing? Do you have Gibson playing both of them? That's tough.
I bet they probably play... If Gibson's going to sit one, don't you think he probably plays the second? He probably plays Vegas?
Yeah, you'd probably want him playing against the division team, right?
Yeah, that's what I would think. So I think the smart money would be on Gibson playing. But as I said, I couldn't remember his last name. That's why I didn't want to say it earlier. But Ryan Miller is no walkover either. Nope. I think he's one of the better backups you could face. So I'm going to go with Vegas winning both home games as of right now. But
big.
Subject to change.
Big.
Big. Big for me?
Big call, yeah.
Big, okay. Yeah, gotcha. All right.
For the week.
Yeah, I thought you meant... yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I've been pretty on point with Vegas so far. The only one I totally didn't see coming was their... kind of no-show, or that was a weird game with Subban getting hurt in Arizona. That was the one that I really was just totally off on this year.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Anaheim this year, negative Corsi and expected goals team by just a tad. They're about middle of the road for the league. Positive in scoring chances and high danger scoring chances at 5-on-5. So it hasn't just been John Gibson carrying them. Their team save percentage, though, as you can imagine, is pretty high. It's top three in the league.
Yeah, and I do feel like, especially their last two wins against Buffalo and Carolina, obviously those pop off the page because of the competition, but they kind of caught both those teams at good times, both on those West Coast swing where you're fitting in a whole bunch of games. I mean, I know it's not a big travel when it's the Kings, but I think one of them, you know, was kind of bouncing back and forth. They went and played San Jose. So, I don't know. I feel like they've been in some good spots.
We'd mentioned Colorado and Buffalo as the top PDO teams in the league, maybe due for some regression. Anaheim's number three.
There you go. All right. So, I don't know. I still like Anaheim overall, but I think the Golden Knights get by them. That's an overview of all four games. So, a lot to pick off this week. For our final segment on Vegas Golden Podcast, we always do the Shining Knight competition, and I'm assuming that I lost last
you
week,
did.
And you're now
you
up 2-1.
Jonathan Marsh so had the assist, had a great game on Thursday against Ottawa, even if it didn't lead to more than a point, and Tomasz Nosek was a player.
He disappeared on me.
Yeah.
What's going
so
on?
So I am up 2-1, and... it is your choice.
Oh, it is my choice. Well, I don't want to go totally off the grid of someone we haven't talked about, so why don't I go straight for a guy that we have praised over the course of this podcast that is doing special things. I hope I'm robbing one of your picks again. Okay. Maybe not. Maybe
you
by your
be.
Son.
You
I'm
well
going with Cody Glass.
Oh. Okay.
Okay, clearly. Okay. Not. Oh, you thought I might be going pulling out the Fleury card.
I'm pulling out the Fleury card.
That's actually it's actually a smart time to do it now. Because, you know, he's going to play three of these four games,
it is
most
against,
likely.
It's against a couple of good teams, but Cody Glass, like you said, been playing well. Marc-Andre Fleury playing well. I think this is the first time that, yeah, because we had Mark Stone versus Shea Theodore the first week. I had Cody Glass already against William Carlson the second week. Jonathan Marchessault versus Tomasz Nosek the third week. And now we have Marc-Andre Fleury versus Cody Glass. So.
Cody Glass, the first player off the board. We said we're going to be able to only choose... To reiterate the rules,
right.
We can
right.
only choose a player once, at least over the first half of the season. We'll probably
reset
in the second
after
half.
Christmas, yeah.
But who had Cody Glass being the first one we took twice?
Who would have thought? Good call.
I guess I have to hope I'm wrong with my initial predictions of the Golden Knights going 3-1 this week, because I feel like if they go 3-1 this week, it's going to be really hard to
with
top Marc-Andre Fleury. Especially
like
I picked
said,
him to lose,
him
the
lose tonight and then win the next three, which might all be Fleury starts.
Yeah, that's going to be very difficult. Or at least I guess I have to hope they win each game like 7-6, 6-4, things like that. but yeah, and also the storylines just flowing all out of this Shining Knight matchup. Not only that, but we have the most veteran kind of team leader on the team versus the newest member of the NHL or one of the newest members of the NHL. Youth versus experience, goalie versus forward. Can't wait to see how this one plays
there
out.
There we go. It should be a fun week, especially, like we'd said, those games Friday and Sunday should be really good games. They're at home T-Mobile Arena against the Avs and the Ducks, who so far have been two of the better teams in the league. So should be really fun atmosphere on the Strip this weekend.
Absolutely. We are looking forward to it, and we hope you are as well. And we hope you will join us next week when we are back to break down what happens in those games and look ahead to another week as the NHL season continues on. For Justin, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to the Vegas Golden Podcast, brought to you by the Credit One Bank Vegas Bourne Card. We'll talk to you soon.